I would like to read in the Gospel by Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 and verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now the book of Genesis, chapter 35. Genesis 35 and verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Now the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 33, Isaiah 33, verse 13. Hear, ye that are far off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? A final reading in the Gospel by John in chapter 19. John 19 and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. Now we trust the Lord will bless what we have heard and help us to preach the gospel from these scriptures that we have read. We have been reminded that last meetings are solemn meetings. In a series of gospel meetings, choices are made for eternity. We would like to ask each one personally, the choice that you have made, has it been for heaven or has it been for hell? A choice must be made. Neutral you cannot be. God has offered salvation. Some have accepted and thank God for it. Others have had the offer, and you've turned it down. Last meetings are solemn. We mentioned one night about a man going to preach in a prison. He wanted to see the auditorium where he was going to preach. He asked for permission, and when he was shown that auditorium, he noticed two chairs at the front. They were draped in black. He asked, why are these chairs draped in black? The warden said, there will be a man in each of those chairs tomorrow, and what you preach will be the last sermon that they will ever hear. Do you think that that touched that man's heart? Realizing I'm preaching to two men, they're for the electric chair on Monday morning. They'll never again hear the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, dear soul, tonight we are conscious that we may be preaching to souls in this meeting for the last time. You may be sitting, as it were, in a chair draped in black, never to hear God's gospel again. Oh, you say there's gospel means every Sunday night. That may be. That word does not guarantee that you will sit next Sunday night under the sound of the word of God. Last meetings are solemn, and they're searching. What has your choice been? If the choice that you have made is the one for eternity, is it for heaven's glory, or is it for hell's gloom? I've read of four last things. We have read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, a last invitation. The king making a marriage for his son. Invitations gone out. They wouldn't come. Again, he sent other invitations. You have received an invitation. God has invited you to the marriage of his son. You must come by the way of the cross. There's no other means of salvation. They would not come. Then they made light of it. Didn't mean too much to them. Then the Lord of the king spake, those that were bidden shall not taste of my supper. What has God said about you tonight, young lady? You have been invited. You have been bidden. But you're not going to taste of my supper. You may live on, but the choice that you have made in these meetings may be your choice for eternity. For the Lord has said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. A last invitation. We have read of a woman's last breath. She died in childbearing. A boy was born. She called him Benoni, son of my sorrow. His father called him Benjamin, son of my right hand. But it says, while her soul was in departing, for she died, there was that moment when she breathed her last in time, and she went out into the great eternity. There have been souls in this world, in this province, in this city, that have breathed their last today in time, and they're gone, never to return again. Maybe before next Sunday night, souls from this company will have breathed their last, gone out to meet God. Where, friend? Heaven or hell? Last breath. Then we read in Isaiah chapter 33, here's the last abode or dwelling place of those who die in their sins without Christ. The question is asked, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? That comes home close. If we start at the front tonight, who among us will dwell with everlasting burnings? Who among us shall dwell in devouring fire? Will there be a soul in this sight, right from the front to the back, dwell in the everlasting burnings throughout eternal ages? Friend, tonight, if you miss Christ as your Savior, you cannot miss the everlasting fire. Oh, may God touch your soul. May the Spirit of God reach your heart and your conscience and disturb you in your sins, that you may flee tonight to the only remedy, God's beloved Son. But then we read in John's Gospel, chapter 19, here's the last recorded cry of the Savior upon the cross in John's Gospel. He said, it is finished. You want to get God's salvation tonight? You want to be saved? Friend, the work is finished. The price is paid. Paid in full. Redemption's price has been shed. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Tonight, look to the cross. The Savior paid the debt. Whose debt? He paid my debt. My debt of sin. All my sins were laid on Jesus when He died on Calvary. My sins cannot be on me and on Christ at the same time. And if God is telling the truth, and I believe that He is, that my sins were laid upon Christ, salvation's work complete. It is fulfilled. It is paid. It is finished. What does God want you to do tonight? He wants you to rest on a finished work. Can you depend tonight on a solid rock for salvation? The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of ages, the one that sinners can flee to for shelter, the one that can be safe and secure in that rock. It is finished, said the Savior. Salvation's cry, paid in full. Not a mite was left unpaid when He my judgment bore. Now, the last invitation, that solemn, not too long ago, there was Prince Charles got married and Prince Andrew. Invitations were sent out to the nobility of the world to come to their wedding. Millions of people, they looked at it on television. But there were those that were invited. They received their invitation. They had to answer to that invitation. Friend, tonight, God is inviting you to a far greater wedding than Prince Charles or Prince Andrew. He wants you to be at a wedding in heaven. He's inviting you. Are you going? I accepted the invitation. The Savior says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I, as a poor sinner, I have come to Christ. I have received His invitation. Whenever He invited me, I came. How did you come? Just as I was, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. The king sent the invitation. They would not come. How many times has God invited you? You say, of almost another series of meetings under my belt. Friend, don't boast. 2 weeks and about 2 days ago, 2 young men that sat in gospel meetings, just as you're sitting tonight, 2 brothers, 1 19, 1 20, they both had heard the gospel. They both had been invited to this great wedding. They would not come. Now tonight, they'll never come, never be able to come. Gone out to meet God, out into eternity. You may be sitting in your last gospel meeting. You may be having your last invitation. These people have their last. They would not come. Then they made light of it. One went to his farm, another to his merchandise. With one man it was my wealth. The other man it was his wife that held him back from salvation. My friend, people that get saved are those who put it forth. Now we preach that everywhere we go. We have seen it again manifested right before our eyes in this series of gospel meetings. We have seen people, and they have come, and then they became determined. I've got to get this matter settled. I want to be saved, and I must be saved, and I must be saved tonight. Last Tuesday night, a young man who sat in the meeting here, he came to the door. He says, I can't go any further. I've got to get saved. Is there a soul in our meeting tonight? And you can't go any further? Why could he not go any further? He realized, I'm on the edge of hell. I could dwell in the everlasting burnings. That's why he was in earnest. That's what made all the difference. Did you ever see your need? That you need salvation? It's not religion we are preaching. We never asked a person once ever to join Victoria Drive Gospel Hall. No, friend. You need to get to Christ. You could join all the churches in Vancouver, die in your sins and go down into hell. You could be a good citizen. You could be as religious as a church pew. Yet, my friend, burn in the everlasting fire. You must be born again. You need a link to Christ. That's something that's vital, of vital importance, that you get to the Savior. When that link is formed, there's nothing, there's no atomic energy could ever sever that link to God's beloved Son. We can lay our head upon the pillow. Come what may, earthquakes, disaster, destruction. Thank God, it's well with my soul. How is it with yours? A last invitation? This may be your last invitation tonight. God may never invite you again. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to receive it? Are you going to turn it down? Are you going to make light of it? Or you say, well, I wouldn't like to do that. Every time you leave a gospel meeting, whenever the Spirit of God has touched your heart, you are turning God's invitation down. How many times have you turned it down? Do you think that God is going to continually invite you? No, friend. God could fill heaven without you. He could have filled heaven without me, but he invited me. And in my simplicity, I accepted his invitation. I trusted his Son as my Savior. And I'm going to be at the wedding of the King's Son in heaven. They made light of it. Then the king said, they that were bidden shall not taste of my supper. We read of a woman's last breath. Many a time I think of my last breath. When I come to the end of life's journey, I don't know whether I've been in a bed of sickness, or whether I've been in a car accident, or a plane accident, or a boat accident, I don't know. Or the Lord may come. But there will be that moment when I'll breathe my last, when my eyes will close, when my soul will take its flight out into eternity, never to come back again. Where am I going to be? Loved ones will weep o'er my silent face. Dear ones clasp me with sad embrace. Shadows and darkness shall fill the place 5 minutes after I die. Their sorrowing faces I shall not see. Their whispering voices shall not reach me. But where, oh where shall my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? I'll be in heaven. Where will you be? You may breathe your last tonight. Oh, you say I haven't got an ache nor a pain. Does that make any difference? Death is on your track. There is but a step, David said, between me and death. He was conscious of the closeness of eternity. Are you? Are you conscious tonight of how near hell that you are? Only a step between me and death, said David. A woman's last breath, died in childbearing, gone out into eternity. Jacob raised a pillar over her. There she was, where she was buried. There's a tract entitled, Good Night or Goodbye. I looked for it in the rack today, but it's not there. But in that gospel paper, a Dr. Langdale in New York, a man was brought into the hospital after being involved in an accident. The doctor examined him. The doctor was a Christian. And he said to the patient, he says, whatever you've got to do, you've got about 2 hours to do it. You're going to die in about 2 hours. The man said, I want my family brought round the bed. The man who was involved in the accident, there was a time in his life when he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever they came in, the oldest girl was Mary. But he said to his wife, he said, dear wife, it was a happy day when you and I get married. And he says, I loved you then. He says, I love you still. But he says, I'm leaving. I've got to go. My time is short. And he said, you've been a good wife to me. I love you more tonight than the night that we were married. Now he says, good night, dear wife. Good night. The next one, firstborn, was a girl, Mary. He says, Mary, you were a joy to us whenever you were born. And he says, through your life, Mary, you brought us more joy. When that time you trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, our little hearts rejoice. Oh, you brought the light to us, Mary. Now he says, Mary, I must leave. Good night, Mary. Good night. The next in line was a boy. His name was Will. He said, well, Will, you're my first son. He said, you brought joy into our home whenever you were born. But he says, well, you brought more joy whenever you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Now he says, I'm leaving, Will. Good night. Good night. The next in line was a boy called Charlie. He passed Charlie by and he said to Gracie, the youngest girl, he says, Gracie, you're our baby. Whenever you were born, how we loved you, how we cuddled you. And he says, Gracie, whenever you got God's salvation, oh, our hearts rejoice. You brought us much joy into our family. Now he says, Mary, the family circle is going to be broken on earth. I'm leaving. He says, good night, Mary. Good night. He looked at Charlie. He says, Charlie, you brought the light to our family whenever you were born, just the same as the rest. But oh, he says, Charlie, there's never been that moment in your life when you have trusted Christ as your Savior. Now he says, Charlie, I'm leaving. The family circle's going to be broken. He says, goodbye, Charlie. Goodbye. Charlie began to weep. He says, Dad, why did you say goodnight to the rest and goodbye to me? As we leave Victoria Drive, Brother Joyce, on Tuesday morning, we have about 2.5 weeks yet, but as we leave Victoria Drive, is it goodnight or goodbye? Charlie said, why goodnight to the rest? Goodbye to me. Well, he says, Charlie, you have never been saved. You're still in the darkness of your sin. You are without Christ, without a Savior. He says, Charlie, I'm going to heaven. I'll never see you again. Oh, that boy wept down by his father's bedside. And there, as a poor sinner, he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. The dad said to him, he says, good night, Charlie. Good night. And in a few minutes, he was in eternity. Friend, is it good night or is it goodbye? Goodbye, we'll never see you again. We may never be back in Vancouver. We live in Nova Scotia. We preach the gospel in that province. Our earnest desire and aim is that people might get saved. That's all we're interested in. And friend, we're interested in your soul. When we came here, there was many of you we don't know. We didn't know. We heard names mentioned in that prayer meeting at the throne of grace for salvation. God has answered prayer. But there are those in this meeting, and you have been prayed for. And if you go down into hell, it wasn't because you weren't prayed for. Your name has been mentioned in the throne of God's heavenly grace. And oh, what an awful thing to remember in hell. There were those that prayed for me. And I had the opportunity. And I got the invitation. But I didn't take it. Are you going to take it tonight? Are you going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Oh, the last breath. It'll come your time. It'll come mine. We're not here to stay. Who among us that's coming home? Who in the front row? Right to the back. Who among us will dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell in everlasting burnings? From the front row on this side, who among us? Will there be a soul? A boy or a girl, a man or a woman, dwell in everlasting burnings? If you miss Christ, you will. You're invited tonight. God doesn't say he'll invite you tomorrow night. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We read from John chapter 19, the last cry recorded in John of the Savior. There upon Calvary's tree, payment is made, salvation complete. God offers you salvation. It's finished. You can't add to it, nor take away from it. It's finished. It's complete. There it is provided for you. From God's side, salvation has been purchased and provided. And God offers you salvation tonight. How can you get it? By a feeling? No. Because if you look to Christ, it's finished. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. God says he took our sin. If he took our sins, he took mine. He led them on Christ. And if God's word is true, and he transferred my sin from me to Christ, how can I get saved? By believing that Christ on the cross died for my sin. Payment has been made in full. I deserve to dwell in the everlasting fire. But there upon the cross, that was my punishment for my sin. But there upon the cross, God caused to meet upon his own Son the iniquity of us all. 38 years ago, I found out that God took my sin, laid them upon his Son, his innocent Son, and was punished in my stead. That's God's love. God wants you to believe it, to take him at his word, to give him the credit. Now, if you go about for feeling, and you'll get mixed up. But if you as a poor sinner step out by faith in what God says, that's what salvation is. May you do it tonight. My sins were laid on Jesus when he died on Calvary. How do I know? I never saw God lay my sins on Christ. I hadn't even sinned when Christ died. How do I know? By his word. I give him the credit that his word's the truth. If you give God the credit tonight that his word is the truth, it's the blood that makes me saved. It is finished. It's paid. It's his word that makes me sure. How would I ever know the price was paid? History? No. Any other books of man? Not one of them. Only God's book. God's word tells me. Christ died for our sin. I put my little claim in. Christ died for my sins. He says, Bingham, you have everlasting life. I have. How do I know? God says it. And that settles it. for time and for eternity. Rest your soul on God's unchanging word tonight and start for heaven. There's a possibility before this time tomorrow night, you could be in hell. May the Lord help you to get to Christ before it's too late. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we desire to speak to Thee at the close of these series of meetings. As we look back, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving for those who have been saved by grace. A few weeks ago, they were traveling along the edge of hell, an eternal hell. But, O God, tonight, they're heaven-born, they're heaven-bound. We praise Thee for this. We thank Thee for encouraging our hearts in the preaching of the gospel. The gospel has not lost its power, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We thank Thee for those that have believed the gospel, and tonight they're saved. But, O God, our hearts are heavy as we think of those who are not saved, those who are in danger of dropping into hell. Families will be divided throughout eternal ages. Father and mother in heaven, the girl in hell, the boy in hell. O God, a man in heaven, his wife in the everlasting burnings, a woman in heaven, and her husband down in hell. The Lord have mercy upon perishing sinners tonight. Grant that they may take a look to the finished work of the cross. It is finished. We take Thy word for it. It's not going to be finished, but it already is. Praise God. Lord, save sinners. We ask, giving thanks, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now again, we express our thanks for those who have supported the meetings. Whether by much or by few, we're glad to see you tonight. If you're not saved, we trust that something from the Word of God has reached your heart and conscience. It would not be wise to go to sleep without a Savior. If you think it would be, you could let us know. We're glad to see you tonight, and those who have come and nights that are past, and for Christians, brethren and sisters, for your kindness and hospitality and all that we have received. We thank you for it. And we're glad for those who will meet in heaven. But oh, it saddens our souls for those that are not ready. The Lord may come tonight. What a reunion there in the air. To gaze upon the man who loved us. He loved us so much. He bare our punishment for our sin. He was innocent. He did no sin. Yet he died for sin. Whose sin? I can say in truth, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He died for my sin that I might go free. Make it personal. Make him yours, and make him yours tonight. Number 84. Oh, the love of Christ is boundless, broad and long, deep and high. Every doubt and fear is groundless. Now the word of faith is nigh. Jesus Christ for my salvation came by water and by blood. Here I stand from condemnation in the risen Son of God.